big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I brought in my mentor, Will Cravens. I met him when I was in high school, and he mentored me as a high school student and then into college. And he actually offered me my first job in ministry. And I'm really excited to have Will on there, not just because he's my mentor, but because he's got something really awesome to share. And I brought him on thinking that I was going to talk to him about mission trips. But today we're really talking about taking a step of faith. And the reality is, in every situation we're in, every ministry context we're in, there has to be a step of faith that we have to take. Whether it's taking a step of faith into a new job or a new career, or taking a step of faith in a ministry situation. And Will is someone who's taken lots of steps of faith, and you'll hear that part of those stories in today's episode. But I want you to really think through, as he's sharing, what is a step of faith that you need to take? And we're going to hit on more of it after this interview is over, but I want you to really consider, what is the next step of faith that you need to take in your life? So without any further ado, let's get into the podcast now with Will Cravens. All right, with me right now is my friend, Will Cravens. Actually, he's more than a friend. He used to be my youth pastor. And honestly, I've tried to get Will on the podcast a number of different times, but he always seems like he's avoiding me. He's always seems like he's not around for me to talk to him. So I actually trapped him in his car and I said, "You're podcasting with me right now." So Will, say hello to everyone.
Hey, everybody. Just for the record, I was not avoiding Tom. He is, he wanted me to go to his church and do it, so I just said, he finally came to me, and there's a principle there, incarnation, go to the person.
Oh, go to, okay, so yeah. You're always
go to their turf.
You're always trying to teach me something there. Okay, good. That's what I like. Well, Will, why don't you share a little bit of background of your ministry experience, from the very beginning, just a brief bio of your ministry experience.
Let's hear. I volunteered with Young Life in college, went on full-time staff as a church youth pastor and Young Life trainee in Fairfax, Virginia. Stayed there at Truro Church for 9 years before moving to England, where I worked with Young Life full-time with British kids in southwest England. 4 years, moved back to Charlotte, North Carolina, East Coast, and helped Young Life with training, did a lot of teaching. I started an organization at that time called Endurance Leadership to do some side training and teaching. The idea with Endurance Leadership was help leaders go the distance and not quit, because I saw a lot of my friends, I think they said the average tenure of a youth pastor is like 6 months to 18 months.
Yep.
And so I thought, how can we help increase the longevity of those in ministry so they don't quit and they don't give up their passion also at the same time for leadership. I accepted a position as a pastor at McLean Bible Church, Northern Virginia, a mega church, about 13,000 at the time. Served there for 4 years, was with them from 2005 to 2008. November 2008, I accepted a position as an associate pastor at Christian Fellowship Church out in Ashburn, Virginia, where I was tasked with managing a ton of ministries, but having control over none, I think. And I realized that was not my gifting, not my place. I did not like it. And their youth ministry was struggling, so they asked me, would I step in, because my experience to youth ministry again. And I loved it. And so did that and helped in other various areas of the ministry and preached regularly. And then at that time, I was praying about getting back in the mission work and mixing faith with experience. And I'm passionate about that when the two intersect. And so basically told God, hey, if you're in this, show me, get me out of it. And I invited a missionary I respected over to my house. And he said to me at dinner, Will, you can do anything with your life. What do you do? You know, don't think about it. Just answer instinctively. And Tom, I'd ask you and anybody listening, how would you answer that question? Right now, you do anything with your life. Don't stop and think about, well, what money does it take, or I'd have to move. Don't think about what the barriers are. Stop and think, what would you do? How would you answer? I answered him honestly, and I out of my mouth came these words. I have a heart for internationals. I would work either overseas or with people from overseas. I love the idea of missional work. And when I say that, I don't mean traditional missionary. I mean, let's not just be in a church the whole time. How much impact can you have for the kingdom inside a church? Of course, you have a captive audience, but are they all teachable? Are you sometimes casting your pearls before swine? You know, especially with youth ministry, if the parents have forced their kids to be there and they don't even want to be there. Right. I remember numerous conversations, even Tom, when you were in the youth group, with parents to try to say, don't force your kid to go to youth group.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, don't. They'll hate it, and you show me in Scripture where God forces himself on anybody.
Yeah.
We're not forced to follow. We choose it. So, at any rate, with that said, I threw that out there, and my wife agreed. She has a similar heart, mission heart, to work both within the church and outside the church. And so he then said, gosh, I believe the Lord's in this, and he might move quickly. And I didn't know what that meant. But I prayed this ridiculous prayer with that couple, Jamie and Donna. My wife and I prayed with them that night. They left our house about 11 and p.m., and I remember praying, God, if you're in this, here's how you could show me. Here's sort of my fleece, if you will, to use Gideon language. Then get me out of my job.
Yeah.
I always thought it's irresponsible when somebody says, hey, I'm going to do something new, and they quit their job. And then you ask them, hey, do you have it lined up? Oh, no, but I'm going to do it. And I always thought that was irresponsible.
Right. Yep.
So I said, hey, God, here's your chance to confirm it. Get me out of my job.
Yeah.
And the next morning... literally the next morning, my boss, the executive pastor, strolled my office. He looked nervous, and then he responded when I asked why he was nervous to sitting down with me and saying, asking me if I would consider resigning from the church. And when I asked, have I done anything wrong, he said, not at all. But financially, where we're at, hiring a new senior pastor, other circumstances, this is where we're at. And rather than react and be upset, I stopped and prayed. God, are you in this? Is this related to last night?
Mm-hmm.
I had a strong sense that it was, and I asked God to give me wisdom, and then I proceeded to ask that pastor, would you be willing, if you really believe I didn't do anything wrong, and you're behind me, would you be willing to support me as a missionary, to allow me to still preach at this church, and to stay with me, you know, give me 3 months, 3 to 6 months salary? And they granted basically all three of those, minus the 6 month salary. He went with 3 months, so I got most of what we were asking for. But that's what launched me on this journey that takes me to today. I've been working now. We used the original charity I started, Endurance Leadership. We kind of that had been dormant while I worked at churches, and so we actually breathed life back into it, made sure it was legit, legal, met with a tax guy, and then got a new board of directors and got started working under that, raising support, and set out on mission, really not knowing what form mission would take.
Yeah.
So it was kind of scary.
Yeah, no, and you just unloaded a crazy amount of stuff on me right now that my head is spinning, because even though I've heard these stories numerous times, like I want to go in a different direction on the podcast than what I originally told you. Stepping out on faith, you're a man that I believe that tunes into what God wants to do and is passionate about seeking God's will, not your will. Talk to us a little bit about that, because I feel like there's a big fear in that. You mentioned about if there was anything that we could do right now, what would you do? Take away all the barriers. How have you seen that lived out in your life, and what are steps of faith that you've seen God really provide? Can you give me some real, like, some other examples?
Yeah, well, first let me say, you said I'm a guy that hears from God. You know, I think sometimes I get it right. There's other times I get it wrong. But let me just say, I'm not afraid to ask. And I'm not afraid to move in a direction. And sometimes I'm praying, okay, God, I feel like you want me to do this. I don't hear your audible voice. I'm going to move in this direction. If you don't want me to, shut the door.
Yep.
And so I believe if we believe what we say, that God's alive, he's present and active, and if we believe Jesus' words, you know, in John 10, that he's the good shepherd, and the sheep, his sheep, his followers, disciples, hear his voice and know his voice, do we even ask for steps of faith and direction and expect him to speak?
Yes.
If we don't, then we're saying we don't believe it. So let me just start by saying I get it right sometimes, but I don't let my mistakes dictate whether I'm willing to ask again and listen again and take a step of faith.
Yep.
Because, you know, Tom, what was drilled into us from a guy who trained me in Young Life, Chuck Reinhold, is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So with everybody listening, how many of you would say, I want to please God? Okay, well, he's saying, if you're not willing to take a step of faith or a risk, then you're never going to please him.
Yeah.
Then knowledge doesn't please the Lord.
Right.
Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge is what annoyed Jesus about the Pharisees that weren't willing to live it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I like this idea of action mixed with faith.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me, action mixed with our ministry. Like, are we on mission and we're learning more things? So I would first say, you know, having that clear, like, I'm always asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? And then I'm listening and I'm kind of going with whatever God gives me.
Okay, well, I love this because I've been on two trips with you. One as a teenager that dramatically changed my life forever. But then one just recently to San Diego, where we're serving the homeless. Can you speak specifically? I'm thinking of one specific illustration of you doing this in practicality. Can you share about that incident where the situation where we went down to this one area that I was really nervous to go into?
Yeah, sure. So we were the mission trip was to San Diego, working with the homeless. And my friend, my best friend growing up, Ed Pelsner, is homeless in San Diego. So our mission was to look for Ed, but also to love everybody along the way. And our search had led us to kind of a scary, rough area out in the Mission Gorge area. But behind a Home Depot, there was a lower area through a fence called the Riverbed, in which they said kind of the rougher drug dealers and types hang out, and where Ed had been sighted. So we were down there, and I said to the guys, hey, look, our path has led us here. We've been praying, and this is where we've been led. We're going down. So we went down, and we met some rough characters, sort of the front gate, if you will, once we got in, that stopped us. One guy had a big machete on his leg and looked like a character out of Breaking Bad, and he basically stopped us, asked us what we were doing, and so I figure I tell him the truth. Hey, we're looking for my friend Ed, and showed him a picture, said, I'm a pastor, I'm a lifelong friend of Ed, love to help him if he wants it, and he said he knew him. He said, in fact, he sees him regularly, and then I asked this guy, is there something we could pray for you? And he said, nah, I'm good. And then I actually prayed, God, is there something you want to... I didn't pray this out loud. I prayed between me and the Lord, just in my mind. God, is there something you want to tell me about this guy? And I felt like the thought that came to my mind was, ask him about his daughter. So I said, hey, do you have a daughter? And he said, yeah. What's her name? He said, Maria. And I said, can we pray for little Maria? Would you like us to pray for her? He said, oh, yeah. And now we're praying with this drug dealer for his daughter. And I just prayed as God led me, and it was me and you, Tom, and then Dave with us, and looked up, and this guy's almost to tears, praying for his daughter. And it's one example. That was just day one going down with these guys.
Yeah, and then day two happened where you felt like God was leading us to do something else. And share that story.
Right. So day one, at the end of it, it was a great start, but actually we were sent away because I tried to get in deeper and look for Ed, and they said, yeah, we had to leave, and I was nervous that now these guys are not going to let us in any further. So I was kind of discouraged because I thought if Ed finds out we were there and now he gets paranoid due to drug use or shame, he may, you know, run and we never see him. So I prayed about, you know, what would be, Lord, what's the plan the next day? And what came to my mind was this idea of the love of God is extravagant. Scripture says he lavished it upon us. He didn't, you know, just apportion it to us or ration us or give us according to what we deserve. It says he lavishes his love on us. this picture of God loving extravagantly in my mind. And so I said, what would loving drug dealers extravagantly look like? And they probably haven't experienced. And the picture came to my mind that next morning as we were praying, was one of a pizza party for these guys. So I said to Tom, I didn't tell Tom and Dave until we got closer. You remember Tom? I thought you guys might be nervous and try to talk me out of it. And so I thought I didn't want to be talked out of it. And so when we got close to the same place, I said, okay, guys, we're going to buy pizzas. And we bought like 5 pizzas and drinks. And we rolled down into this place. And I said, hey, but one thing is clear. The other scripture that came to my mind when I was praying was, I felt like the Lord put it on my heart, have no fear. They could not harm a hair on our heads unless the Lord gives permission, which is encouraging for Dave and Tom, less encouraging for me because I'm bald. but still, the idea of no harm coming to us because God's protecting was encouraging. And so I shared that with the guys. And then I said, let's all text friends that we know pray. And the idea was you had to text somebody that you knew would literally pray if we asked them to get on their knees and say, we're not going in until we have about 10 people praying. So we all stopped and texted some people we knew were serious about praying. And we didn't tell them all the circumstances. We just said, we need you to pray. And then when we got 9 or 10 texts back saying, praying right now, we felt confident it's time to go in. And we went in with our pizza and drinks and rolled up to the front gate. There was a different guy there that day. And we said, hey, you know, where's Juan, I believe his name was. And they went and got him. And then we had this whole interaction where these two guys, another guy introduced himself as Israel, who he had heard of. And Israel said, this is awesome. Nobody ever brings us pizzas. You guys are awesome. Like, what are you doing? We said, hey, man, pizza party. Juan came out, and there's another guy with Israel. And I said, you know, I prayed for you guys this morning. And I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to let you all know that he loves you extravagantly. And so we wanted to throw a little pizza party for you, let you know you're loved by us and by him. And here we go. And they just didn't know what to do with us.
Yeah.
Israel's ready to come out and sit down with us. Juan looks really nervous. She's kind of shorter fella from Mexico, he said. And then before you know it, this other guy comes out. One guy came and looked at us without his shirt on, covered in tattoos, looked kind of frightening. And then he went and got who I would consider as kind of the alpha dog, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. He came out and he cursed at us, threatened us, and said, I don't give a bleakety bleak who you are. Yeah. If you don't leave, you know, we'll kill you.
Yeah.
And that's when I got really scared. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we said, hey, look, we're not going to push. Yeah. But, you know, we'll move the pizza party over here. So we moved the pizza party a little further towards Home Depot, but still inside the gate of kind of the dangerous area. And so Israel came up, Juan kind of came back and forth. We're starting to sit down with them and talk to them. What I love was, though, Juan came up and said, you know, this is weird. That was his phrase. This is weird. I said, why so? He said, you know, nobody comes from your world into our world and does this. Heck throws a pizza party.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, tells us they want to pray and love us. And I said, well, what if it wasn't weird? You know, what if people came more often? And then he kind of threatened, hey, our boss could come back and kill you guys. And I felt inspired at that time and stood up and said, hey, I'll tell you what I heard from the Lord. You can't harm one hair on our heads unless the Lord gives you permission.
And that's what freaked me out even more. I stood there like in my mind, I was like, do not say that. Do not say that. He's going to take his knife and kill us all.
No, but he can't.
He couldn't, Tom.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, but, do we believe the scripture's true, right?
That's right.
And so I really felt confident. I felt like the verse was from the Lord. And I also, what I felt in my gut was, I wanted these guys to know that, you know what? I bet these guys live in fear as drug dealers. Fear of the cops, fear of somebody else killing them, taking their money. And I thought, I wanted them to know, there's no fear. You don't have to have, you know, fearlessness with guns. You can have fearlessness with the Lord. So anyway, that was an example of faith.
Yeah, and see, that's why I love it, because what you did, being in tune to the Lord and taking a step of faith, being bold and taking a step of faith. Again, Dave and I were following you on this one. You were our leader. We were following you. But we blew their mind. Again, when he said it was so weird, he could not comprehend this. And I think that's what the love of God is sometimes, that when it's shared in such a way, we blow people's mind by doing that and by taking that step of faith. And that is the one lasting story that I will always take with me of him always saying, this is weird. This is where he could not comprehend the love of Jesus there. And that's what you did by sharing this this story.
And I know we don't want to go over today, so I would just leave you with this today, Tom. And whoever's listening, you know, you can apply all these principles to your youth ministry. Yep. You know, what is the Lord asking you to do in faith? And if God said to you today, you can do anything with your life. I created you. And there's no depths to which the Lord can't reach or go to for us. No, nothing too high he couldn't reach for us. The question is, you know, what's he calling us to do? And have we grown, you know, settled for some level of mediocrity in our ministry or life? Mm-hmm. Is one part. One question to answer before the Lord. Second one would be, what areas of faith is he calling me into now? You know, where should I step out and trust him with regard to youth ministry? And that might mean not being, not just with the church kids, not just the kids that show up, but going like we went working with the homeless onto the turf of the homeless. Mm-hmm. We went, in fact, down into the little drug dealer's area.
Yeah.
And he said what was weird to Juan was, and Israel, no one ever comes down here. Mm-hmm. And so where are the areas God's calling us to go that will require faith and protection and yet where the love of Christ needs to be seen?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm stretched.
No, and that's where I'm stretched as well. And that's a great challenge. I always like to end mine with a challenge. Well, you've actually just challenged everyone here, so I don't even need to end this with a challenge. Well, before I let you go real quick, Will, share with people, where can they find more information about your trips and everything? And I'll hit on some of this in the afterwards, but where can they hit on your trips?
Yeah, our primary, we have a trips website that is leadershipexcursions.org. We can set up trips. They're not all with the homeless, by the way. We do medical trips, trips to orphans in Peru, trips national and international. And we can tailor stuff because we have a lot of partners around the globe. And so you can go to leadershipexcursions.org. And our regular ministry is enduranceleadership.org, but we wanted a separate site because we have some of our trips, we have non-believers, people that have not, you know, come to a decision of faith yet. And so we love everybody along the way. We have a lot of people come with us that just are exploring faith. They're exploring the idea of service and that idea that God, we're made in God's image to serve others. Yeah. And so they go on a trip with us. So you can check that out at either place, and we are 100% faith-based. So we survive by faith. Like for the last 4.5 years, praise God, he's provided for my wife and I. So there you go.
No, that's great. And if anybody's interested in this homeless stuff, you're doing a San Diego trip in February, correct?
That's the plan.
Yeah. So
plan. We don't have it on the website yet because we haven't confirmed the dates. But yeah, that's the plan.
That's awesome. Good. Well, Will, thanks so much for joining me, and I'm definitely having you back on here because you got a ton of great stuff that I love to share with other people. So thanks, Will.
So you heard it here. What is the step of faith that you need to take in your ministry? What is the step of faith you need to take in your own life? It's a real good reminder and a real good challenge for us to constantly be thinking about it. You know, we can get so complacent in where we're at that we forget to take steps of faith. We forget to take next steps in our lives that really push us and challenge us in our journey in Christ personally and in our ministry journey. So what is that next step of faith? I would love to hear from all of you. So hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder, or you can even email me at tom@ympsychic.com. I'd love to talk to you more about this because we all, again, have a step of faith that we can be taking in our personal lives and our professional lives. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for us for another episode here at the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely subscribe to it on iTunes. I've got fresh new podcasts coming out every Wednesday. You can head on over to ymsidekick.com for more blogs and vlogs as well. And I want to give a big thank you to Will for joining us. I will definitely have him back on to talk about many more things, many more different topics as well. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you next time.